The thoughts, opinions, and ideas expressed in this podcast are those of the individuals participating in the conversation and do not necessarily reflect the viewpoints or official stance of Leap Africa. The organization supports diverse perspectives and encourages critical thinking and open dialogue.
Hello there. Welcome to another episode of the Youthful and Useful podcast. And today on the show, we have with us our finalists, some of our finalists from the Youth Leadership Debate 2.0. I'm sure you're excited to meet them. Trust me, these guys are amazing. And we're about to have some very brilliant and interesting conversations. So let's meet our finalists. Hi, guys.
Hello.
So please, can you introduce yourselves?
All right. Hello, everyone. My name is Divine Marizu, and I'm a student of Bayes University.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Aisha Yusuf from the University of Ibadan.
Hi, my name is Igbinosa Samuel Tunsa from the University of Benin.
Fantastic. And I am Joy Igbinedion. I will be your host for today. All right, guys. So let's start with this. How has this experience been? I want to start with Aisha.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'm going to try to keep it short because I tend to talk a lot when I don't have like a script or anything, but it's actually been very fantastic. I think we started this like very early in the year. So yeah. By the time we got to the debate rounds, I'm like, okay, when's this thing going to be over? But then from the elimination round one to the second one, I'm like, we are in the physical rounds. It's like this time to put in everything. So coming down here, when we're in session, we have classes, we have like assignments and everything. So I feel like I'm going to be very nervous. I'm going to be thinking of school and everything, but sorry, UI, I'm not been thinking of school. But because really, it's been like a very fast week. It's been an emotional roller coaster. My partner and I have just been like, okay, now we are here. The goal is no longer, oh, we'll just get to the physical round. The goal is like, let's get to the finals and win this thing. So the first elimination rounds, we watched our opponent's elimination rounds, the virtual rounds. I was like, these guys are good. Like, we can't take chances. So at that moment, I felt like, okay, we need to do one thing that I feel like they would not do. And that was my decision to internalize my speech overnight. And I felt like that gave me the confidence to go and say, I feel like we are going to win this thing. Now, delivering my speech from my head on the first day. So the second day, I felt like I can't drop the bar. And that was just the decision to do the same thing the following day. But I think internalizing two speeches in 2 days, 5 minute speeches, really got to me. And you guys also happened yesterday. But at the end of the day, I felt like, okay, we did enough to win because we did not leave any stone unturned. And really, it's just been like an emotional roller coaster. I felt, you know, happy, excited, sad, worried, really. And now I'm just very hopeful for the final.
Amazing. Emotional roller coaster. All right, Pastor Samuel, let's hear from you.
Amen.
You still give us the gist about this Pastor Samuel thing, but let's hear from
you. So for me, the experience has been transformative. Mm. It has been self-revealing. I don't know if I could use that word because basically it has opened me more to potentials I carry. I have seen the light I hold, and it's amazing. This voice is going places, and this boy is going to stand on greater stage.
Yeah.
So from the whole elimination rounds, the whole session, it has been, I remember having to take my course in like a week because I had them piled up due to exams, having to intern with an organization, and there was always work. Like once we are done with this, we are entering this. And there was Leap Africa. So I had to juggle a lot of stuff. Then we passed the elimination round one. Then round two was like Uniben against Uniben. And we're like, oh, these guys will take it easy on us. But God will have it. We scaled through then to the quarterfinals. Although the result was not what we expected, but it is what it is. And this is actually, like I told myself, the ending of a beginning and the beginning of another end. Mm. So basically, the experience has been life-changing.
Life-changing, Pastor Samuel. Thank you for that. All right, Divine, let's hear from you.
Honestly, I think I want to take the word he said. It's been life-changing, honestly. Because when I think of how it all started, like we had to go through courses that taught us about different things. We got to learn from different things. We just shared their perspectives from different lives. And all those information truly got into us and we learned from it. Well, to come to the whole competition stage, like a competition is quite intense. That sometimes you'll be up at night trying to do research, trying to work, trying to really prepare your speech. So knowing that we didn't have limits, because sometimes me and my partner will be up to like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. on virtual course trying to like communicate. So that really taught us that, wow, we could actually break our limits and still come in the morning and actually have classes. But more to that, also think Leap Africa really put so much into this, right? To organize this whole session, to actually make us better versions of themselves. Because I always wonder, like, why do they keep doing all of this? Because they have put in so much effort to really help each and every one of us. So that has really changed us. But most of that, like, the networking that we have done among ourselves has really been transformative. Because, like I said, one of the sessions we had, it's not about what happens tonight, it's about what happened after. And truly, I can truly say that what we've learned here would actually help us to become better leaders to actually get to Nigeria we all want. So truly life-changing.
Divine, I feel like you spied on my notes a little bit because what is this? Fantastic. So I think that one thing that I've heard that's common with, you know, the three of you is the thing about self-awareness. I feel like this journey has made you more self-aware. You know, you're now more aware of your potentials, of the limits that you can break, of how far you can actually stretch yourself and how far you can go. Yeah. I think that is amazing. Sure. So you mentioned a few things, Divine, and I'm going to just take it from there. You talked about what next after this? And then you talked about leadership. I want you to share with us what your own definition of leadership is. I mean, especially after you've taken this course with Leap Africa, you know, the Youth Leadership Development Program. After, you know, going through that program and then the different courses on our LMS, you know, talking about leadership, self-awareness, accountability, you know, civic responsibility, active citizenship. What is your definition of leadership?
Yes. So I'll say leadership starts with me, because leadership is all about like serving people, and serving people entails that you put yourself first and other people follow. So it's not just about like forcing people to get things done. So when it also comes to the issues that plagues Nigeria, I have to stand as a leader, meaning that I'm going to put my voice first. I'm going to act first to actually get this problem solved. And in my various life, right, be it academics, be it in kind of the work I do, because I kind of like lead an organization, and ensuring that I enforce what leadership truly means to actually solve this problem. Because we focus on like the SDG goals, and Leap Africa has really taught me about how to effectively do this. So if I truly want to create a transformative change in the world, it has to start with me, and then other people would follow in. Because I remember one video that they showed throughout the course of leadership about how one boy saw a log in the floor, and everybody was just standing by. The police people were seeing it and they could not do anything. Other people were bystanders and not doing anything. But this was a young boy who couldn't actually push that thing literally, but he started and went forward to do it. And what happened? Other kids joined him, other people joined him. Even the law enforcement like came in. So that really shows that if I want to get something done, it starts with me, and then I inspire other people to get this done.
Fantastic. All right, Aisha, what's your definition of leadership?
I think I'm going to pick a word from when you started the question to Divine. You talked about self-awareness. Okay, so at my final year of study, and over the past 3 years, I've actually led some organizations in school. And it's been a learning process for real. For instance, last year, I led an organization that has helped me grow the most in school. I joined in 100 level, and I became the president in 300, at the end of 300 level. So I served in 400 level. And, you know, for an organization that I had so much love for, because they contributed to my growth a lot, I felt like I owe it to build other people like me. I felt like I owe it to build someone that could share my passion for that organization. So more than anything, I felt like leading that society really shaped my perspective of being a leader. I mean, I started listening to like leadership podcasts, like Maxwell podcasts, started thinking about things like teamwork, for instance. I mean, I feel like that's one thing I've learned the most in the past few weeks. I mean, partnering with Habib, for instance, we were always at loggerheads when we started. Like, we just, our ideas would never align, would clash a lot. But then we'll be like, okay, guy, we are going to have to, you know, make some compromises, like just giving here. And at the end of the day, let's see how we can reach our goal. So I feel like leadership for me is actually learning to work with other people. So for instance, like the fact that I felt like, oh, I want to groom a successor that would be someone that subscribes to my school of thoughts, for instance, on how the society should progress, but something I want to impose my own beliefs on these people. So it's just all about finding a balance between what I feel like should be the right thing, what I feel like is the right thing particularly, and what is best for the organization. So like learning teamwork with like one person, for instance, like a group of people, and thinking about how to ensure that my own vision of what society should look like does not overpower what the rest of the guys think. So it's always sometimes about personal interest, group interest. Because I actually really wanted to, you know, I wanted to talk about that, the power of starting something little. But since I really did not just want to go back to that, since Divine already mentioned it, I think another thing that really stood out to me is the fact that you become more aware of how your own perspective about something may not necessarily align with other people's perspectives. And I think it's one of these sessions we had this week where they were talking about, if you want to do something for people, you have to ensure it's what they want. It was yesterday. Yes. Yeah, it has to be what they want. So I think one thing I learned being a leader, particularly last year, was that my visions of what the society should be like aligned with what the rest of society members wanted to be like. So I also have gotten my answers. I think I'm still discovering things, but really, those courses really like put things into practical perspectives for me. And I think I'm still discovering a lot of things, but definitely this is a starting point for most of us. We've learned so many things that we can't just be to go out there and tell people that, nah, there is so much we don't know about how much our own perspective of the world can actually influence other people's too and all. But I think I'm just going to stop here.
Amazing. You people cannot tell me anything. I know. Somebody is spying on my notes. It's like if I've shared it, somebody saw it first and said, let me send this to you. Because what is going on? Okay, let me hear from Pastor Samuel before I give my final verdict on this matter.
All right, so I would like to pick from the word of Aisha that leadership also involves teamwork. I guess there's a popular saying that says, if you are a leader without a follower, you're just taking a walk. So I've also had to work in capacities that needed me to be at the front, capacities that needed you to be stern, to at least put yourself out, like more like everybody is watching you, and whatsoever you do or you do wrong, everybody's like, that's the leader, he's doing it wrong, so I can also do it. But with the whole process, I've got to know that leadership is not just about the title. It's about the actions that proceed from you. So even if you are not the one at the front, you can actually contribute your quota and change whatsoever the status quo is. And one thing that has stood out for me when it comes to leadership is the fact that when you can work with the people that are under you, it makes things very, very easy. So whenever I'm there, or whenever I would be there, I think I'm more conscious about the people. And more people-oriented, because I feel like we cannot even achieve a lot if we are not together. If we want to carry this table now and it's just me, my strength may fail me. But if all of us are together, we would do it better. So leadership to me has been more about the people, about the action, more than about the title and the person. So that's just
amazing. Absolutely. I told you guys, these guys are brilliant. Because, I mean, we're talking about teamwork. And one of the things that I sort of heard Aisha talk about was that unified vision. You know, how as a leader, there's a perspective that you have. But by the time you have a team and you're working with other people, you then realize that, okay, we're probably seeing things differently. So it's essential that we have a unified vision. And, you know, we have one goal, one focus. It's easier that way. It's better that way. We get there quicker. And, you know, Divine made reference to that video of the little boy. Every other person, you know, and the interesting thing is the people who had the power to solve that problem did nothing about it. Yeah. And until the little boy made a move, you know, and it just reminds me of the situation that we have in Nigeria, because sometimes it feels like the people that have the power to effect change, they're just bystanders. They're not doing anything about it, you know. But in our own capacity, in our own little communities, our little societies, we can take the first step. We can do something. And then they see that these children are doing something. See, young people, true, we had better join them before we embarrass ourselves, you know. Fantastic. So, and speaking about that, right, the boy moved a log. And I'm thinking, what's the log that you're moving? Because we can't solve all the problems in the world. We can't solve all the problems in Nigeria. You know, we have challenges with the health sector, our economy. There's so many things. There's infrastructure. There's challenges with our policies. There's so many things. I want you guys to tell us the logs that you're moving. What are you advocating for? And it was one of the things that Ikenna talked about at the youth conference. What are you advocating for? What are you speaking for? And I think Kenny also talked about it. What are you lending your voice to? So we're talking about advocacy. What are you advocating for? Pastor Samuel, let's start with you.
All right. So I, for one, I'm somebody passionate about education, because I feel if people are with the right mindsets, things, if people's mind are enlightened, you don't have to point this out. They already also get it. So education is one thing I'm passionate about. And I could say I was surprised when I was concerned about embarking on a tax during the process of the courses. And I was like, you know what? I'm teaching in a school. What if I just speak to the boss that, ma'am, can I have a career talk with these children? And I said, okay, let me give it a move. And I spoke to my boss and she was like, wow, it's amazing. Do it. And I just assembled the children. I was just going to talk about, okay, ensure you are concentrated on your SSC exams. Make sure you do your jam right. Do what you love. But in the course of speaking to these children, I got to realize that most of them did not even know what they wanted to do. So most of them were in science because their friend was in science. Most of them were doing arts because my dad is a lawyer. And it's as if our surname is now barrister something. So barrister is becoming a surname instead of becoming what they ought to do. So the children were able to speak their minds. They were able to, in fact, were able to redefine a lot of things in terms of what they want to do with their lives. And it was amazing. So what log do I intend moving? I feel I'll be more passionate about education, more passionate about young children. And basically, I feel it starts from the cradle ones. It starts from the ones we always think, oh, they are the last. No, they will get it one day. Actually, it starts from there. Because when they get it right from when they are young, it transcends to the future. Because these persons are the future.
Amazing. They are the future. Amazing. I mean, it just reminds me of the conversations that we were having even before we started this about getting it right from when you're young, because it just, you just grow with it and it stays with you forever. All right. So Aisha, what log are you moving?
Okay. I do not know which to pick right now, but I think I'm torn between political participation, like fighting political apathy, and advocacy. Like, okay, so now we talked about awareness the other time, and I'm kind of someone that I overthink a lot. I think a lot. I stay in my head and I just keep thinking about things around me. So I think I worry a lot about how people just seem to take things lying down, just feel like, oh, it's Nigeria. I can't do anything about it. I mean, there's always this thing about when I was in 200 level, I was very vocal. I would see anything, I'll post it on my status and rant and stuff. And people be like, oh, SDC is really low, like student disciplinary committee. It's real low. They would carry you and stuff like that. But the funniest thing was, you know, 400 level, I had the opportunity to meet our vice chancellor like a couple of times, and it was not for anything negative. I mean, there was a time I got there to go and award and everything. And I think it actually jumps upon the fact that a lot of people don't want to speak out for things, but they feel like they're not going to change anything. And I think that's a very wrong perspective. So I just actually say to them, see, even if you don't change Nigeria at once, it can actually change one single person. And so that's the first thing about political participation for me. And I think it actually boils down from being from a politically conscious family. Like, my parents are very politically conscious. Like, on your 18th birthday, like this, a few days later, whether it's election period or not, you are going out to get your PVC registration. Like, that's it. Like, that's the tradition. Okay, so that's the first thing for me. Even from school, like school participation, school politics, I tell people, you cannot just say, oh, because someone is contesting on opposed, I have to vote for that person. Ask them, challenge them. Why do you think, even if you are the only person, we should vote for you? So these are like issues, because it starts from like our school politics, for instance, like microcosm of Nigerian politics. It starts from like school politics, your faculty election, to your apathy about Nigerian election and stuff like that. We feel like if people start feeling like speaking out against this thing, taking decisions like voting about posting their opinions on political issues, I think you can actually start getting some things right. Because at the end of the day, a lot of these things boil down to awareness, which is like the second thing I want to talk about. For instance, our mentor, Mr. Ahmed Omar, we have conversations with him a lot. So we're talking about, you know, things the other time, and he was asking him about projects and stuff. So we're actually considering doing some things. I don't want to talk about them yet because I don't know it's going to pan out at the end of the day. But one idea Abi really felt strongly about was that he wanted us to, you know, go to secondary schools and train students to get involved in advocacy. So the whole idea was going to be like, hey, these guys do not actually know the reality of Nigerian situation. They just hear from people that, oh, that politics is dirty, politics is this, and just let it sink into their head. We can actually let these guys know that, okay, you can actually learn about what's happening around you and lend your voice to it. So that is one thing I'm totally considering doing, even though I have like a busy year ahead and everything, because as you said, catch them young. So while we are like young people, as we are youths, Abby's perspective is like, you can even catch people like way younger. He's interested in all the secondary school, primary school student thing. So I really feel like it's something that I want to do more than, you know, for me, it's always been, for political participation, always been passive, sort of just speaking out against it and stuff like that. You guys, you have to get involved in politics. You have to make opinions and you have to do the right things. But now I actually feel like there's something I can do actively, which is like maybe, once I'm done with this competition and maybe exams are over, maybe during the break, I actually start from somewhere, maybe schools around us, and get these guys to start getting conversant of issues around and speaking about this. That's the goal at the end of the day. We want to like organize a tournament where we'll have these guys come and watch us debate. They will debate to get as much people to come. So they will go to their schools to spread it to other people. I really don't know how the scope is going to be. We are still having like baby discussions right now, but I'm totally excited about it, to be very honest.
Fantastic. I'm also excited to hear how it pans out. All right, Divine, let's hear from you.
Well, look, am I moving? I've thought about this for a while. And that's what made me decide to study the course I'm doing, which is medicine, because I feel like we are facing a public or a health crisis in our country, Nigeria. The brain drain in Nigeria today cannot be overemphasized enough. WHO recommends about one doctor to 500. As of last data of last year, it was one doctor to over 5,000 patients. 5,000 patients, yeah. And this data just keeps worsening. And only the rich now can afford to go to private clinics. So our federal hospitals, our government-owned hospitals are overburdened, they're overstaffed. Like, for you to see a specialist, it really take you about 2 to 3 months for you to see these ones. This is really crazy, and we shouldn't have gotten here in the first place. So what log am I moving? I really want to lend a voice to advocates for change in the Nigerian healthcare system, because health is a fundamental thing that every single person should have access to. Most importantly, when I think of people in rural areas, people in places whereby they don't have access to good hospitals, good roads, it actually touches me, because if these people don't get access to health, it means that they are going to die in the long run. And this is a problem. So in the long run, when I even think of graduating from med school, I actually see how can I start NGOs, which is already something I'm in the process of doing now, to see how people in rural areas across Nigeria, but even across Africa, can gain access to healthcare. The organization like Doctors Without Borders are doing fantastic in this. So we can learn from these initiatives, but actually go to those people and see how I can provide healthcare access to them. It's really something I'm passionate about. But more importantly, I really love the word of like gritty, because when we talk about like catching them young, one quote that always resonates with me is like, to be the person that you wanted to be when you were younger. And I feel like when I was younger, there are a lot of things that I wish that someone helped me to do. One of them was like being gritty. Being gritty means that persevering in the sense of like obstacles or like setbacks. We are not like defined by what has really happened to you. And that's one a lot of things when I see, especially like in the secondary school context. So you have those who like take first, second, third. But those people who are like on the bottom of the class believe that, oh, this is my identity. I cannot be like that A-star student. But science have told that this is not the case. Like there are concepts such as neuroplasticity, which tells you that you can actually improve your brain to get things better. And I feel like when I can instill this mindset in a lot of people, it can actually drive them to believe, oh yes, I can actually do this, I can get better. And that actually leads them to actually work on different issues across the world that they are more passionate about. And that's what inspired me to create this blog, Gritty Student, and hopefully a podcast to actually talk about this and inspire people that, oh, these people failed in this, but they can actually learn from it and actually get better. You're not defined by what has actually happened to you. So these two things I say, I'm truly, is the logs I'm moving.
Ladies and gentlemen, I dare say that there is hope for Nigeria. Like, there is hope for Nigeria. And when you are talking to debaters, you know, since they're giving us facts, WHO said XYZ, it's just amazing. Well done, guys. You know, listening to you all has been quite inspiring. And like I said, there's hope for Nigeria. And this is why Leap Africa is doing what Leap Africa is doing. You know, because sometimes it feels like, Nigeria, let's just leave it like that. Nothing's going to work. But, you know, some of us think that we can't just leave it like that.
Sure.
We have to do something.
Absolutely.
And one of the things that we need to do, which is also what all of you have spoken to, is reach out to the next person. You know, help them understand that we can make things better. And together we can make it work. So I think this brings me to the next thing I'd like us to talk about. We often talk about the Nigeria we want. And while Aisha was speaking, she was talking about, you know, something that had to do with a unified vision. And I dare say that in Nigeria, we don't have a unified vision. We don't even have a vision. There is it, there is no vision. I mean, the Americans talk about, you know, the American dream, and you just sort of understand what that is and where it takes them. But in Nigeria, it's like, our own vision is survivor. Let's just survive. So I want you guys to tell us what the Nigeria you want looks like. Because for some people, they just want to relax and be taken care of. You understand? And there are people who, oh, they want to go out there. They want to do great things. They want to change the world. And there's so many ways that you can do that. Some want to go into sports, some health. And, you know, that's just where their head is. But the Nigeria we want, the Nigeria you want, what does it look like? You know, is it the Nigeria where, let me not give you the tell me by yourself. All right. So let's start with Aisha. What does that Nigeria look like?
Honestly, maybe if I think for longer, maybe I'll have a different answer. But one thing I've always said, like, I mean, I follow some of Leap Africa, NYFF pages on Instagram, and I follow some of these things you guys post. And when I started seeing these videos about the Nigeria world and the hashtag, I mean, it's something that I've been conversing with for a while now. So I think the first time I saw it, I actually said that I thought okay, if there is one thing that can change, because personally, I'm kind of like a realist, I'm not pessimistic. I do not believe that I can achieve this perfect Nigeria, maybe in my lifetime. But I've always thought that, okay, if we can get to that, you know, developed country stage and stuff within the next, I don't know, what is that one thing that I can leave this world and say, okay, maybe it's got better? And I think for me, it is education, honestly. I attended public university. I mean, before this started, we were talking about public universities. I know the challenges we face there. And recently, there's this wave of fee increments, hikes and stuff. Really, the school, honestly, I've been very, you know, understanding, holding discussions and stuff. And at the end of the day, they didn't even increase the school fees, but there were some charges and dues that were introduced. And I saw people, I thought it was bad, you know. I am like from a family where we have like three of us in university, so we can understand how it is for us. So I felt like it was bad. But I got to school and I saw people that could not even resume to school because they could not afford to pay the accommodation fee now, not to even talk of the school fees and everything. Now, honestly, I realized that, see, education is like one thing that I'm really like, should not be a luxury. Should not, you see, I understand the divine perspective of health. I mean, it's important. My star will always remind us that you are like literally one illness away from poverty, like abject poverty. I understand. I have like so many personal stories about that. But you know, I don't want to go to personal stories. So, but for something I feel like I can share here, I think it's for education. It should not be a luxury. I do not think it is okay for people to finish school and have to defer admissions. I mean, 200 level student deferring admission for 1 year to go and work just to pay 300 level school fees. Like, these are actually realistic stories of what we see every day in these public universities. I mean, schools where we are literally still paying 20K for tuition and 30K for accommodation, and people still cannot afford to pay it. I understand there are like so many challenges, but education should not be a luxury, honestly. So for me, maybe it may not be about changing the entire education system, but one thing I promise myself is, if it's one person, then maybe to 10 persons, maybe to 100 persons, I'm going to ensure that one person enjoys education, like, and it wasn't like hard for them to achieve education, honestly. Like, it's not, I hope you guys get this thing. Like, if it's just one person, hoping that at least maybe that one person to understand that it wasn't coming from a place of comfort. So no matter how much or how little you can do, you have to do it for someone else. I think we need to actually have that perspective of, you can do for one person, that person doing for another person, another person doing for another person. But what if one person does it for like three people? And those three people now go ahead to do it for three people. These people think these things are not realistic. They're actually very realistic. We try that in my L&D. When you're in 100 level, you get mentored, my literal little society. Then when you get to like 200, 300 level, you mentor another person. Another person mentors another person. I got my first mentees in like 300 level, mentored four of them. And now one of them is mentoring four people in the society. So now we have like, we started from like 12 or thereabout people, now we have like almost 60 people on our team, and now we are mentoring like 20 something girls in my hall right now. I'm going to graduate, but I'm going to be looking back, and I'm sure in like 2 years, I believe we would have tripled that number. We are seeing it play out. We started like 2019, and we can really see the result now. So I feel like if people actually understand that you're doing one thing for one person, that person doing for another person, that we actually make little changes escalate to big things. That maybe we can actually make things better in Nigeria. Maybe not the whole country become like America or Switzerland, But yes, better than we made it.
Mm. Sure. Fantastic. So what I hear is that the Nigeria you want is a Nigeria where everyone has access to good education.
Very important.
Fantastic. Samuel.
Okay, I guess it's the word of Aisha Yesufu, as she said, Nigeria where the child of a nobody doesn't have to know anybody to become somebody. So actually that has been something I don't like, or I don't resonate well with, the fact that I have these potentials, I'm supposed to be here, but you're actually wanting me to cut the bus. Who do you know? And I feel like it's something that has become a norm in our society. So when you get to a big office, even when it was your potential that got you there, somebody's like, do you know somebody? Who do you know? Oh, you got... So for me, the Nigeria I would want, if I have a magic wand, like, brum, 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 it will be a Nigeria where everybody can thrive. Everyone can thrive. I got an opportunity to work in a government establishment as an intern, and we were working on a grants project. And it was amazing that at some point I had to sit back and watch my boss. The fact that this man had the capability to siphon the fund and it would go well. But this man was all about giving his quota. He was there. People were coming and he was like, please go through the right process. And the man had a way, he left his impact in me. And I was like, if Mr. Segun could do this, even with whatsoever he has going on, I could do it. The next person could do it. If everybody was like Mr. Segun, Nigeria would be better. And I said to myself that no matter where I find myself, I will look back to Mr. Segun and be better. So a Nigeria I want is a Nigeria where everybody in their potential thrive and not necessarily having to know somebody.
Amazing, amazing. Nigeria where you get what you actually work for and get what you deserve. You know, fantastic. That resonates with me because I know I was sharing with us earlier how, because I studied was not even, you know, what I was supposed to study, and I had gotten more than the cutoff mark, and it was just interesting.
Sure.
So yes, I absolutely understand that. Okay, Divine, what's the Nigeria that you want?
Amazing. Nigeria I want, some might call it a dystopian world, but it's one whereby our diversity doesn't become a problem. So ethnic and religious issues are not there, but rather they are assets to actually build our Nigeria. And I think how that starts is me understanding Aisha. That's why the diversity in terms of like religion, it's not an issue, but actually you can foster collaboration to actually build something. She talked about how helping one person. So that's why the diversity, I will still want to help her. She will still want to help me. I can still want to help other people. And that actually creates the Nigeria we want, honestly. And that also turns down to actually helping somebody when it gets a job, gets asset. I won't say, oh, this person is not from my side or ethnicity. That means I can't help you. No, I want to be from, no, we are one country, we are one people. And because of that, I will actually still want to help that person. So that's unity, because our politicians like to like use that to their advantage and create divisions amongst us. But when we recognize that, see, these guys are there, we are the people who are actually suffering this, and we have to be unified to actually solve a cause. So coming together, I believe it starts with me and you. It starts with understanding each other. So education is very important in this aspect. But when we work on this, we can actually create a ripple effect both in the education sector and the health sector, because the problems we face in Nigeria are multifaceted. But like we talked about, leadership starts with me. Starts with you, and when we can be all united, we can overcome them, not at a time, but steadily we'll get there.
Fantastic. It's interesting, our diversity, you know, we speak so many languages, we have so many cultures. I think it's something that makes us even more beautiful as a nation. You know, when I see how different cultures dress, we're such a beautiful nation, yeah. But we allow people use this as a tool to divide us, like Divine said. I mean, and we saw that play out at the last election with all the tribal bigotry that was going on. I'm like, what are you guys doing? Why are you guys allowing them play us like this? Yeah. Because we go to school together, we work together, we have friends who are from different parts of Nigeria, and it's not a problem. But the moment we're about to vote for somebody, then it becomes a problem. Then your tribe becomes a problem. And you know, over the years, I just find it interesting when someone says, oh, where are you from? I say, I'm a Nigerian. What does that have to do with anything? Because, you know, because of all of these tribal things that we throw around, and that's very important. And we're drawing close to the end of this podcast. I know that we can go on and on and on just discussing these things. So I'd like you guys to speak to other young people, you know, on the other side of this podcast. They're watching you, they're listening to you. What would your advice be to them? How can they also lend their voices on this discourse of the Nigeria we want? And I'd like to start with you, Divine.
Awesome. So my advice is, your voice matters. You can do something to create a change. It might just be you helping someone. So make your voice well spoken. Use technology, use social media to your advantage. It might be tweeting about something, it might be creating a video about something. But trust me, these little insights or advice that you give out there can actually resonate to someone, actually make an impact in their life. And always be willing to help the next person close to you, honestly. No matter how little it is, trust me, years down the line, that person will remember it and actually want to use it to help other person. So, mentioned earlier, always be gritty, right? Because you can persevere. No matter what setback you've had in life, you can actually improve and get better. So don't look at your situation and that's the way it's going to be. No, you can always improve. People have done it before. You too can do it also.
Fantastic. All right, Pastor Samuel.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just thought about the question and something that dropped in my heart is be patient. Mm. I don't know why. Not to mention the place. So I've been in an event where a student actually wants to drop out from school because Yahoo is paying. I want to do it. Yeah. I want to make money so fast. And I'm like, I'm in my 20s and I'm not even thinking about I want to make money so fast. So I don't know who is listening, but one of my generous advice would be that in all you do, do things that are right, because nothing lasting comes from something evil. True. Nothing lasting comes from me making Aisha cry. Because true, after Aisha cry, there is still this repercussion. There is still this ripple effect. Karma is real. So whatsoever good you find yourself doing, do it well. One day it's going to thrive. One day it's going to speak for your generation. So basically, be patient, do good, and do it well.
Thank you, Samuel. That was very good. All right, Aisha.
Okay, so I think I want to... Okay, let me put it in like a phrase to like be optimistic, like just be optimistic about Nigeria. I mean, we talk a lot about the Nigeria we want. I did not write notes during the keynote speeches yesterday, but I actually think I can almost tell you what every speaker said. And I think it's there was a uniformity to their message, as the fact that we can actually achieve the Nigeria we want. We can achieve maybe some elements of that Nigeria of our dream. But the reason I'm actually calling for optimism is the fact that many people that don't do anything do not do them because they believe that, what's the essence? Mm-hmm. It's not going to change anything. It's not going to bring any difference. And that's why, for me, my own perspective has always been like this small skill thing. Like, okay, making like this small impact. For me, maybe in school now, my passion is like debating. It may not be like changing the entire debating system in UI, but it could be like the one in my all. Like, these girls know just how much I put into it because I believe that we can actually make differences. And now these guys actually go to their faculties and make those changes. So for me, it has always been about the fact that knowing that one thing can actually make like a difference. So I feel like I would like if Nigerians are more optimistic about the fact that we can actually achieve a better Nigeria. So most people that do not talk about these things, that do not do anything, that alpha will go from like 100 something naira to almost 600 naira, and they'll just take it lying down. Like, if we protest, what will happen? They'll just kill us. If we talk, school will still increase school fees. If I complain, nothing will still happen. No, I feel like it starts from actually letting people know that there is a problem. Some people don't even know that there are problems out there. Some people just say first subsidy. They don't know the understanding behind first subsidy. They don't know what we can do when, say, we do not have subsidy, but maybe this money is actually funneled into our education or funneled into our healthcare system where you don't have to pay, like, tests running to like hundreds of thousands naira, just tests before you even start receiving treatments. It's insane, the government hospital. So I feel like when people understand that, when we are optimistic about Nigeria, we will actually be more excited to make these little changes that can bring about the big changes we want. And maybe then we one step and two and three closer to Nigeria one. So let me just cap it up and say, don't give up on Nigeria. Just really be optimistic about how little things can make the change driving us back to Nigeria wants.
Fantastic. Guys have heard it all. Be optimistic. There's hope for Nigeria. persevere, be gritty, do something, help the person next to you, help your neighbor. And like Pastor Samuel said, be patient.
Yeah.
Be patient. Yeah. You know, whatever bad thing you do to get a result, it will not end well. But good always pays off at the end of the day. So be patient. The Nigeria we want will become a reality if all of us come together to do our own bit. And with that, guys, we have come to the end of this episode. And I'm sure that you have learned one or two things, because I have been thoroughly inspired by the amazing guys that we have here. And there is hope for Nigeria. Once again, I am Joy Gbinidion, and it has just been an amazing session. And I'm happy that I was able to host this. So I look forward to seeing you guys again at our next episode. Please make sure that you watch our other podcasts and just check out our website at Leap Africa. Follow us on Instagram, on Twitter, and on LinkedIn. Until next time, see you guys. Bye.
Bye.